Welcome to the Doug Haldeman Show, Mortgage and Real Estate Talk, a show committed to educating, empowering, and entertaining you while saving you thousands. Here's your host, mortgage expert and consumer advocate, Doug Haldeman.
Will Rogers once said, "Too many people spend money they earn to buy things they don't want, to impress people they don't even like." Formal education will make you a living. Self-education will make you a fortune. It's time to gain knowledge and become the guardian of your financial future. I want to thank our sponsor, Cornerstone Mortgage, known for having the lowest rates and the smoothest closings.
If you have a question you would like addressed on the air, you can call or text the show at 314-472-DOUG. That's 472-DOUG, which is 3684. All the information from our show is on our website at smartwithyourmoney.com.
smartwithyourmoney.com, and also be sure and listen to our podcast. Tune in, look up Smart With Your Money with Doug Haldeman on iTunes and on Google. So I am your host, Doug Haldeman. I'm here with my trusted co-host, my gorgeous wife, Tammy Haldeman.
Oh, thanks.
Does not have a face made for radio. You have a face made for TV, but you're on radio anyway.
Okay. As I get older, not so sure.
I'm embarrassing you a little bit here on the air.
Yeah.
So, Tammy, when it comes to your mortgages, which is what you know I do day in and day out, and you get so sick of hearing about it, you come home and you hear people in the medical field. My sister was a nurse. She'd come home and tell nursing stories all the time. And for me, it's coming home telling debt stories because it's just scary, like the type of debt that people take on and people buying more house than they can afford.
Right. You see, I'm sure you see that every day, all the time.
Well, and that's that Will Rogers quote about people spending money that they've earned to buy things that they don't want to impress people that they don't like.
Right.
Okay. That's, I think, where people have to be really cautious when they're buying homes. I've become a huge believer over time in living below your means.
Mm-hmm. Well, after, my parents moving 18 times, buying a home, or sometimes we were in transition, living in an apartment, and some of that time until the house was ready. But I have to say, my parents were pretty smart about what they did buy. There was a downturn in the economy that we all are aware of. That was the only one that they just broke even on. So they always seemed to make a little bit of money off of their homes. But, back when I was growing up, all I heard my parents talk about was a down payment all the time. Like, I got to save up. We can't go on vacation because we have to have a down payment. My mom would always have a certain number in her head, whatever it was that she wanted to put down in a down payment.
Well, and back then, 20% down was pretty much a requirement.
It seemed to be that was the magic number that always had. And mom and dad would always make enough money from the sale of the home to help. And sometimes they only had to come up with, 5 or 10%. But nonetheless, it was always down payment minded with my parents, it seemed like. So how are people doing that today? Is it still recommended that you put money down when you buy?
Well, it is definitely still recommended that you put money down. So how much money down becomes a question, because is 20% down still the perfect number? Because, it's really this fine line, because if you have to wait until you have 20% down, a lot of people won't be able to buy for 5 years or 10 years down the road.
Mm-hmm.
So let's take a closer look at this and figure out what are the differences between the least amount of money down and putting all the way to the most amount recommended down. And what does it do to your down payment money? And what does it do to your total payment?
Okay.
It would be good to take a look at that, because what I see with people is, when you just take a close look at what they can afford, most people, it could take them many, many years to save 20% down. So let's just look at a 3% down loan. Okay. In the old days, they required 20%, but what they figured out is that people can still be a pretty safe bet putting less than 20% down. And of course, the more money somebody puts down, the less risk that is for the lender. So they love it. But those can still be very low default rates, as low as 3% down. Now, there is a threshold there that when they were doing no money down loans, so 100% financing, the default rates were much higher.
Right.
So having some skin in the game becomes very, very important. So let's start with a 3% down loan. And I'm going to give all these as conventional loans just so we can kind of compare apples to apples.
Sure. So keep it simple.
Yes. And we're going to use a $250,000 purchase price.
Okay.
Okay, just barely above the average in the St. Louis area. And we're going to use an interest rate of 3.875% on all of these loan options. So by the time, you know, your interest rate may be lower, it may be higher than this, but this just gives a benchmark as we're going to compare these different programs. So 3% down on $250,000 would be $7,500 down. So $7,500 out of your pocket. You're going to have private mortgage insurance on that. Okay, so the private mortgage insurance is important because the less money you put down, the higher the private mortgage insurance factor is. So private mortgage insurance on that might be around $232 a month. So it's fairly significant, gives you a total payment of $1,626.
Okay.
Okay. So now let's go down. You have a little bit more money to put down. If you have 10%, what does that look like? So now 10% on $250,000 is a $25,000 down payment. Okay. Significantly more down. You're talking about tripling your down payment money. So $25,000 down lowers your private mortgage insurance down. Your principal and interest goes down some because now your loan amount's a little bit less, leaves you with a total payment of $1,413. So by putting 10% down instead of 3%, it saves you a little over $200 a month on that payment. Much, much better deal at that point. Okay. Then let's go all the way to 20% down. Because that's the big step, and that's kind of traditionally the safe spot.
What people do, right.
You avoid private mortgage insurance by putting 20% down, but that's a $50,000 down payment. Okay, so instead of $7,500 with only 3% down, now you're talking about $50,000, which may take a while to save $50,000. Okay, that gives you a total payment of $1,194.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what's interesting, though, is the difference between 3% down and 20% down. The principal and interest difference isn't really that great. Okay. Huh. It's only $200 difference in principal and interest between 3% down and 20% down. But when you add in the taxes and insurance and the private mortgage insurance, okay, that's the big difference. Now you are about, what is it, $430 difference, mm-hmm, because of the private mortgage insurance.
Right.
And the reduced principal and interest. So now if you put even more money down, let's say 22% down, so an extra 2%, you're up to $55,000 down. The payment goes down to $1,170. So it's only a difference now of $24. So the return on the extra money you put down really starts to decrease once you hit that 20% down payment threshold.
Mm-hmm.
So I would almost never recommend somebody put more than 20% down. There are some scenarios where you should, but it doesn't get you, as long as you can afford the payment with 20% down, that's a good number.
Okay.
That's a very, very good number. So the threshold of what you escape in principal and interest is not a huge difference.
As far as down payment goes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, but what it costs you in extra down payment is significant. And
right.
The majority of this is when you're talking about a first-time home buyer, but it doesn't just apply to them, because when you're dealing with somebody that's a move-up home buyer, where they're selling a home and buying the next one, the general thought process is to take all of the equity from the home you sell and use it as down payment for the next house.
Mm-hmm.
And often that's not the best solution.
Okay. Interesting. So I'm sure when people come into your office, how do you even get them to figure out what's a comfortable monthly mortgage payment? Where do you start?
Well, so you really have to look at the total debt picture to know what's a comfortable monthly mortgage payment. So I usually start by asking them the question, what's the maximum mortgage payment you're comfortable with?
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting is that a lot of first-time home buyers are coming from a rental situation. So they may be paying $750 in rent, and they really don't want to go much over that.
Okay.
So they maybe want to go up to, you know, $750, $800 for a mortgage payment. They're not taking into account the tax deductibility of mortgage interest. So those are times when we are willing to go a little bit above the payment they're comfortable with. It depends on the rest of their debt scenario, though. So if you're looking, okay, let's back up a little bit, because I want to talk about appreciation on a house. And you know, should somebody wait to buy a home until later, or should they go ahead and buy it now?
Okay.
Whether they're, you know, if they're going to wait to save for 20% down, why would they not want to do that? Okay, why would they want to go ahead and buy now? Well, appreciation is the answer to that. Okay, so let's just take that $250,000 house with the example we were using a couple minutes ago. So 250,000 in year zero. In year one, if we're going to use a 3% appreciation rate, which in St. Louis, you know, in Missouri, we've been above that. We were about 4.5% appreciation last year. But we're just going to use conservative number of 3% appreciation per year. So in the first year, your value goes up to 257. So you actually gain $7,600 in value at 3% appreciation in 1 year. By year two, it continues to compound. Now you're up $15,000 in appreciation. Year three, you're up $23,000. By the fifth year, you've gained $40,000 in appreciation with only a 3% appreciation rate.
So is this assuming that your property has been maintained or improved?
Yes, assuming that you're going ahead and putting some money into maintenance every year. So if you're just taking the appreciation rate in 5 years, that $250,000 house gains $40,000 in appreciation. In 10 years, and now it goes up $87,000 in a 10-year period of time at only a 3% return. Okay, so that's one of the reasons to buy now versus waiting to buy later.
Okay,
it becomes very, very important. So back to your question, Tammy, though, you asked about
Just trying to get in line with how much I really can afford.
Yeah, so how much can you really afford? The answer to that really does depend on your total debt picture. Okay, so a common number that people will give, and you and I were looking at this infographic that one of the big banks put out there. Okay, and they were saying that it's typical to have a 28% housing ratio, and that means that 28% of your income is going toward a house payment. Okay, well, they also outline a budget where when you add up the percents that they put toward each thing, the numbers don't add up right. So I think that's too high. I think that 28% of your gross income is too much to spend on a house payment. I think it needs to be closer to 20% or even less than that. Yeah, I think 18 to 20% is a good number. And it all depends on how much other debt you have. Because if you don't have any credit card debt, you don't have student loans,
then that could go up. And then, but if you like to eat out all the time, then your food budget might be higher or entertainment budget might be higher, right?
It all has to play on itself. And that's really where I help people form a debt strategy by looking at their house. I mean, people come in thinking that they want to do one thing, but if they're open to advice, then I can sometimes show them scenarios that will put them in a much better situation, because I'll ask the question that, what's most important to you, the lowest interest rate on this loan or paying the least amount of interest on all of your debt? And I would think the answer is the least amount of interest on all of your debt.
That's what I would say.
Yeah, I would think that's what most people do say once we ask that question.
Okay.
And that's knowing good. That the house is just a tool to be able to do that. It's the largest debt you're going to take on in your life, and it needs to integrate into your long and short-term financial and investment goals. We need to maximize your tax benefits of it, and just make sure that puts you in the best position to succeed and let you still live below your means.
Okay. All right.
No keeping up with the Joneses. All right. So if you want a free mortgage analysis on your situation, especially if you're getting ready to buy a house and you want advice in that area, or it may be your neighbor, it may be a son or daughter, it may be a relative of yours or even a coworker that needs advice in this area, have them reach out to me. Have them text me or call me at 314-472-DOUG. And that's 314-472-DOUG, D-O-U-G, which is 3684 are the numbers for that. So coming up, we're going to be giving you access to the number one home search tool in the country. You're listening to Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1.